Hi there, you're listening to the Spirit Room Podcast with me, psychic medium and mentor, Melissa White. This show is for developing mediums, budding intuitives, and those who just find themselves curious about spirit and the afterlife. I'll share my experiences with you, working with spirit as a professional medium for over a decade. I'll also interview people that I find brilliant and fascinating, and provide you with some insight into how you can live this life to the fullest, knowing that there is so much more available to us than what meets the human eye. So I invite you to sit back, relax, enjoy, and let's just see what spirit has in store for us today. Everyone, welcome back to the Spirit Room podcast with me, Melissa White. I hope that you're doing well and that you're ready for another episode. Today is really a mixture of things, your questions, and also things that I've come across over the last little while I've been working with Spirit and working with so many of you out in the world, out in the wild, as they say. So relax, yeah, get yourself a cup of coffee, or, you know, maybe you're driving, maybe you're walking, exercising, cleaning, any of those things. Those are the things that I do when I'm listening to podcasts, driving especially. But yeah, just sit back and relax and let's get into it. So starting off with a question that I've had time and time again, and so I really do think this is a good one to address. And it can bring some comfort. Certainly not a light one to start off with. But the question here, so many people have, they worry that if their loved one passes by suicide, that they won't be able to communicate with them, or that they will be stuck somewhere, or that they won't, you know, cross over or go to the light. All of those things. And what I would want you to know is that it doesn't matter if someone chooses to end their life intentionally. They still go to the light, and no one passes alone. So even if someone is physically alone at the time of their passing, they're always helped and they're always assisted by other loved ones in spirit, their guides, guardians, their angels, that kind of thing. So it's impossible for someone to pass all by themselves. And there is no such thing as being stuck or lost or not being able to go to the light. I think a lot of that is myth, and it does have its roots in certain religious beliefs, which are quite fear-based. And I'm always, you know, it's interesting, people want to argue with me about this a lot. And I just want to say, obviously, it's up to each person as to what you believe and what you choose to believe. But if you're asking my opinion, I mean, the amount of spirits that I've encountered, the amount of people that I've read for, I think I have a pretty good idea of what's what, you know? So I'll never claim to have all the answers. If you've been listening for any length of time, you know that. But I do feel really confident in telling you this. So hopefully that's helpful to someone who's sitting there worried about it or questioning, right? So that is important to know. I've heard something else around this, like on certain social media platforms, where there are some mediums who charge more for different, like to bring through different spirits who pass from different types of pass, like different ways of passing to spirit. So for someone who dies by suicide, they might charge more. And I just think that's absolutely bizarre to me. I don't understand it. I'm not exactly sure what the reasoning is behind any of that. But anyways, it's something that I have heard that does exist, that is out there. Also, okay, so not too long ago, I was doing a group reading, and this woman that I was reading for, her grandpa came through, and I brought, you know, the evidence and the information and the message for her, and it all made sense, and she was really touched by it, because in life, it wasn't the closest, like the most emotionally close relationship. And that's exactly why I think he stepped through, or stepped forward, like that's why he came through, is to say, even though it may not have been super, super close, that he is around her, he does love her, and she is precious to him. Anyway, she was questioning why her grandma did not come through, because that's the person that she was super close to. And she just never imagined that the grandpa would. And I think it's an important thing to comment on, because lots of times we do ponder, like we do think, well, why wouldn't so-and-so come? But in this case, if there's nothing left unsaid with a loved one in spirit, and you know exactly where you stand, and maybe you have experiences with that loved one all the time, maybe you feel them close to you, maybe you receive signs from them often, it would make sense to me that if given the chance, a spirit who maybe didn't have that quite the same relationship with you, they might really want to take this opportunity to let you know that that love is still there, regardless. So I'm just saying, in some cases, that could be the reason. Definitely in this case, I know that's the reason. And the hardest thing for us as humans, the medium and the sitter, is that we don't get to control it all. And I think that's the hardest thing. Like, we always want to. And I understand, you know, I think that sometimes the want or the desire for that connection, that specific person, that specific connection, can be really, really overwhelming. It can be really great. But I think one thing to always keep in mind is that we're not in charge, and that we can't try to tame or try to manipulate this awesome, amazing, unlimited power that is spirit. So we get to work with spirit, and we get to experience the miraculousness, but we don't get to micromanage. Right? So I think it's just a good reminder. Good reminder. The other thing that someone had asked about, Cherie had asked a while ago, about my thoughts on soul contracts and pre-birth planning. Now, this is a big concept, and I'll share with you my insights, my thoughts, my experiences. I do believe that there are some soul contracts, some promises we make on a soul level when we're in between lives, or, you know, before we come into an incarnation in this lifetime. I don't believe that that excuses abusive behavior, poor behavior. I don't think that we can say, oh, well, it was all in the soul contract, so it's okay. You know, this person was meant to do this to me, and I have no choice but to do this to them. I think it's more nuanced than that. Yes, I do think that we have, it's almost like a blueprint. I can see it in my mind's eye. It's like this complicated blueprint with all of these webs of connections and turning points and free will choices, and then all of these different experiences that we can have based on the choices that we make. To simplify it, I think that a lot of what we come here to do in this lifetime, I think it is up to us, a lot of it. We get to choose how we live and how we react. But I do think that there are some main themes for each person in their life. So some main topics that we will address, whether that's something that we've chosen or something that we've planned with our guides and our team in spirit or not, there are certain things that we will encounter. And I think that's what we could say is more like destiny. And then I think there are other things that are entirely up to us, and it depends if we use our potential and what we have at our disposal. And so that's the beautiful part about being human and being in the physical world, is that choice and the potential for growth. And it really is up to us. It comes down to us. So while I think, yes, some of those soul contracts exist, I hesitate to talk about it in those terms too much, because then it starts to get a bit tricky. You know, for a while I was really getting into, in the beginning of my development especially, I was really interested in like Louise Hay and her affirmations, and I was really into Florence Scovel Shinn, who is a really amazing writer who kind of inspired Louise Hay and her work. Anyways, I was getting into also like manifestation and all this stuff. And the problem I came across was that this hard and fast belief that, you know, we create every single aspect of our experience. I have a problem with that because I look at children who are dying due to cancer, or dying in horrific situations, dying in war, stuff like that. And I just feel that it's very difficult for us on a human level to quite grasp that being a choice, or that being something that we, you know, has been part of their soul contract. It might be true, but I just don't know how helpful that is for us to start thinking about either that being in their soul contract, or that they've somehow created their reality. Because you can't convince me that a child creates that reality for themselves. And I think it gets really complicated when we start talking about like just staying high vibe and staying in a high vibration. You can be as high vibe as you want, but there are certain things that you might not be able to prevent. And I think heartache, pain, difficulty, challenges, those things are not always preventable in the human experience. So I don't know if that's making sense. I feel so torn, I guess, about it. There is a book called Your Soul's Plan by Robert Schwartz. I think that's the name of the author. I read it years and years ago and it blew my mind. Now, I would recommend it because it's fascinating. I don't recommend it saying that I believe in or align with every single thing that he talks about in that book, because I really, there's some things that I don't. But he does kind of illustrate how it's possible that some things that we are meant to learn, that we will learn, and we might choose to have certain challenges and experiences on a soul level, because we're trying to progress spiritually. And that does make sense to me. But this whole idea that, you know, it's a soul contract, therefore nothing you can do about it, I don't subscribe to that. I feel I'm ever the optimist and also ever the cheerleader for our own free will choices. And honestly, like, so many people don't like that about me. They don't like it because then it means that they would have to take responsibility. And so I think I look at it both ways, that yes, there are certain things that are going to occur that are just going to be awful. And I think maybe some of the time, there's nothing that you can do, you could have done to prevent it. There's nothing that you did to create it. It just is. However, I also think that even with those things, you always have a choice in how you're going to go forward, how you're going to respond, and what you're going to do about it. So it's a bit of tough love, but it's also, I think, really empowering to think that way, that no matter what, there is always hope. And I know that's annoying for some people to hear. I 100% can hear people, like, I could envision it and I can hear it somebody sitting in the car being like, yeah, that's great. There's always hope. Not in this situation, not in my situation. But I would have to say there always is. But it depends on us, you know? So I think, yes, we can create amazing, miraculous miracles in this life for ourselves, but we can also create our own living hell. We can create either or both. That's how powerful we are. So yes, some things are fated, and yet there are so many things that are up to us. So I think it's about having the discipline to focus on what you can change, what you can do, what you can control, and as much as you can, surrendering to the things that you cannot. So I hope that answers your question, Cherie. I could probably do a whole episode on it and maybe be a little bit more articulate with more time to expand, but that's just the gist of it, just off the top of my head. So let me know if you have comments about that or questions. Feel free to reach out, melissawhitemedium@gmail.com. Another topic that's come up is near-death experiences and or trauma, like traumatic experiences, that seem to be a catalyst for psychic abilities. And I will say that I've seen that pattern in myself, and I've also seen it in numerous students that tend to find me. They find me because they've had some kind of experience that has really opened their eyes or has opened the door to spirit and their own intuition. And they all sort of have a similar theme that they bring. It's like they're feeling like they're going a bit crazy. They're not sure what to do about it, not sure what to do with this new information or this new way of seeing things, new ability. And also they don't know if it's even real or legit or if they're just imagining things. And oftentimes they feel a bit fearful because they don't know that they have the ability to have some, I don't want to say control because we don't control spirit, but we do have control over whether we're engaging with spirit or if we're not. And I think sometimes people have some really, really outdated ideas about that. Like they think that they're obligated to be bombarded by spirit 24/7 once they open that door. So that is a real big fear that people have. So I can just tell you right now, if you're listening and that's a fear, you do not have to engage with spirit just because you can. And you can have a really nice, respectful working relationship with them. It doesn't have to be you open 24/7. And I actually really don't recommend someone trying to communicate and connect with spirit 24/7. I also think, you know, it's a choice. You're not obligated. No one's forcing you to delve into this world. You know, like it is a choice. But I think if it's there, it's there for a reason. And in my opinion, my experience, going into it and exploring it and finding your relationship with spirit and how that works for you, that is the thing that brings so much peace, brings so much peace of mind. It really lessened my anxiety once I understood that I was connecting with spirit. And I learned about it and learned to manage my own energy. So yeah, I think there's such a benefit to it. So just so that you know, you're never obligated though. And oftentimes too, I think it's interesting. Like I had someone reach out recently saying that they had this experience that really startled them, kind of scared them. Then in sort of chatting with her further, she was saying how she was going through a hard time and she had asked her mom in spirit for assistance and support and that kind of thing. And then she had this experience, which was tangible, you know, something that she felt physically with her physical body. And I just said to her, oh, it's interesting because like, I think many times spirit can't win with us because we beg and ask for the signs and the experiences and we ask for their help and we want them to be with us. And then the moment they bring us an experience, it's almost like then panic sets in and we are scared and we don't want it and we're like frazzled and frantic. And I mean, I think the thing is, they have to make it noticeable. If we're asking for them to come and to be with us and connect with us, they have to make it tangible. They have to, you know, make it so that we will know that it's something. But the problem is, if it's too dramatic and if it's too tangible, then sometimes people freak out. But then if it's too subtle and it only comes as an emotional feeling, the moaning and the complaining that I hear about that, that people can't believe that because it's only subtle and it's only a feeling and it's not grand enough, it's not big enough for them. So in this case, with the person who reached out, she immediately, when I said, oh, I think it's mom and that's her letting you know, she immediately understood and she was not, you know, afraid or anymore or anything like that. But I have encountered some people who are just so hard to please when it comes to that. Like, I feel like spirit's really trying and yet I don't know what they want. I think like part of me feels like some people are asking for the spirit person to materialize in front of their eyes. Like that's what they want. And yet if that were to happen, I think that many people would not feel comfortable with that or would be very, very taken aback and startled. So I just want to be a little bit on, you know, the voice of spirit, like on the side of maybe opening up our expectation so that it's not so rigid, and recognizing it is not, although it's magical, it's not magic. Like there are certain things that need to occur energetically and a process that needs to be taken on in order for the spirit to be able to bring us that awareness that they're there with us. But it also takes an open mind and an open heart, human, you know, open-hearted human who can be willing to recognize that connection. So, you know, it takes both of those types of energies. And that's important to keep in mind. I also think too, you know, with this idea of signs from spirit, I'll include that in my readings. Oftentimes that comes up. Most readings, the spirit person is going to tell you, hey, either I've done this already, and these are the signs that you might have noticed, or I'm going to bring you a pigeon as a sign. I'm going to bring you a sunflower as a sign, you know, that kind of thing. And I understand I used to feel weird about talking about signs in the future because I thought, oh, I'm always thinking from the perspective of someone who is quite skeptical that they could say, well, prove it. Like, how are you going to prove that to me? And the truth is with the signs, I don't think it is evidential. I don't think talking about signs from spirit is necessarily provable or even really quantifiable. I don't know of a way to factually, evidentially prove those signs. However, if I've already offered you enough evidence, enough detail, enough facts about your loved one, and then I start talking about signs, at least then you can kind of trust, okay, she was right about this and this and this, and you feel that connection of like, okay, I'm connected to my loved one. I know this is my, you know, mom in spirit. There's something beautiful about giving someone something to look forward to. Sometimes the signs that we receive are the thing that actually keeps us going in life. I know there's been times and for myself, and I know for clients for sure, that they're just getting to the point where they're feeling like they don't know. They don't know what to do next or how to go forward, how to go through the next day, just because they've got the weight of grief or strain or stress, illness, whatever else. There's so many things that could be troubling a person, but just when they're at that point, all of a sudden they receive this sign from spirit and they feel it. And it changes their outlook. It kind of fuels them to go forward another day, or, you know, just to kind of give them a bit more of that energy that they need, or a boost, you know, a spiritual boost. So although there's no way for me to prove that when that hummingbird comes and hovers right in front of your face, that that is sent to you by your mom, usually the timing, the way that it happens, and the feeling that you get when it happens is enough to give you that kind of comfort. And so at that point, I think if mom says in a reading, I'm going to bring you this experience with a hummingbird, and then a couple days later or a week later, you have that experience, then it is almost like spirit being able to say, I told you, like I was going to do it. I told you, and I did it. So it does provide some kind of evidence. It does provide comfort and confirmation for people. So I'll always, you know, I'll include it if that comes up, if the spirit brings it up. And I don't mind. Like if I tell you some wackadoo sign, like they're going to show you a, I don't know, I had a zebra one time. I mean, the stories I could tell about weird things that spirit have told me, and then they actually occurred, you know, that would be probably an interesting podcast episode, but they do. Somehow they arrange for it. So, I mean, this is just one example. This wasn't a weird sign. I mean, hummingbird, I'll be honest, that is a very common sign from spirit. Lots of moms and grandmas, for some reason, tend to really like to bring that sign. Anyways, doesn't make it any less true. It's just that it's more common. But anyways, one time I was at a group and I was sitting on the couch and I was facing all of the people, like they were all sitting facing me and I was facing them. I'm looking out the front yard window behind them, you know, as I'm talking to them. I got to one point where I was talking about either a mom or a grandma, I can't remember. Anyways, she was coming through, she brought through all of the details and we knew it was her, and she brought some messages. And she did say that she is going to bring this hummingbird and it's going to be a sign from her. And as I'm speaking the words, the ladies in this group started being like, and like, I could tell that they were like visibly, like there's something going on. Their jaws were dropping a little bit. And they said, it's behind you. And so behind me was like the kitchen, and there was a kitchen window and everything. And just as I'm talking about the spirit bringing the hummingbird as a sign, there's a hummingbird hovering outside the kitchen window. I just couldn't see it because I was facing them, you know, but they could see it behind me. And I mean, it was just perfect timing on spirit's part. Like that spirit really knew what she was doing to orchestrate that timing, and just that they would notice and all of that. So I mean, there's real time experiences that I've had, a few of them, which just blow me away. And then the ones that happen afterwards, I'm always so thrilled when people actually email me to tell me. So if ever I've told you something and you weren't sure at the time or didn't make sense, and then you email me and tell me how it transpired, that's like one of my favorite things in my whole life. I love when that happens, because it goes to show that in the moment, even if we're not aware or we don't know exactly how that's going to occur, it shows us that spirit does know, and that they have, well, they obviously know more than us, you know? So I think we have to remember that. And it's just so rewarding, because it's like, oh, wow, this person also, it's like an extra little Easter egg that you get, you know, like something for later, beyond the reading. So please do. Please send me those emails. I absolutely love them. I got one recently that was to do with a song that a spirit person, an old, old song, that the spirit person had mentioned the lyrics and stuff. I didn't even really know the name, but just the lyrics. And I told my client, and she was like, okay, went off on her way. And then not too long after, I think maybe 2 weeks after the reading, she ended up going to a family member's house that's also connected to that loved one in spirit. And she walks in and she looks at the piano, and on top of the piano is like a songbook, and it has the name of that song on the front of it. And then the loved one that she went to visit actually ended up playing that song on the piano. And I don't know if she sang it, but it was like my client understood, oh, her loved one in spirit knew that they could orchestrate this experience for her with that particular song. So it's pretty amazing what they're able to do. And I always just count myself really blessed to be able to witness it, you know, be able to see how that works. And to be able to see that life is more than the day-to-day, the rushing around, the financial stress, the emotional pain and turmoil that we sometimes experience. There's also equal amounts of wonder and inspiration and magic and miracles and beautiful connection. If we're willing to see it, if we're willing to be open to it. So it's always up to us. You know, there's that Einstein quote. I mean, I love Albert Einstein, but when he said something about like, there's two ways that you can live your life. One is if nothing's a miracle, and the other is as if everything's a miracle. I'm paraphrasing. I mean, I don't know if that's the exact quote, but you get the drift. It's up to you how you want to live. So I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I highly recommend trying to see everything as a miracle, or at least as much as we possibly can. The other thing I think that's very true is that some of us really go out into the world expecting or expecting it to be bad, or expecting to have to be defensive and to have to be like feeling like the world is out to get us. And I think part of that is trying to protect ourselves. So I understand, I have compassion if that's how you go out into the world. But what I would say is if you can switch that a tiny bit, at least to neutral, like you're not necessarily expecting good, but you're not necessarily expecting it's going to be bad. At least that, because at least then there's this open kind of receptive kind of energy. And I think when you're not seeing the love and the, you know, the love and the compassion and the beauty of the world, then that just means it's time for you to be it. You have to create it. And so sometimes when I get frustrated at the state of the world or just the energy that I encounter in the humans, I never encounter that kind of energy from spirit. It's the humans that sometimes create that. I always take it as a sign that there's more that I can do. I got to create more. I have to create more. I have to be that love. And it doesn't mean being a doormat for people who abuse you or for people who mistreat you. But what it does mean is whenever possible, when you can go out of your way to show someone compassion or let someone know the beautiful thing that you notice about them, or when you can just do someone a solid favor without any reason or any motivation other than you just want to bring some light into the world. It does balance things out. It does do something energetically. So just remember, your intention is so powerful, so powerful. And you don't have to do like huge, amazing, grand gestures. Small movements forward with the right intention can create so much healing, not only within our own selves, within the people around us, and actually it makes a difference globally as well. So I'll leave you with that for now, just a short but sweet episode, wishing you the very best. Do check out the website. I do have a summer boot camp, Summer of Spirit boot camp, that's coming out. We're going to have a date in July and a date in August. And it's like a full, you know, like 5-6 hour day both times. So it gives you a chance to really be immersed in the energy. It's available to everyone except for like brand new beginners. So if you've never connected with spirit, or you've never attended any kind of circle or workshop, then maybe just you could reach out to me and we can chat about it. But I think it's likely more beneficial for people who do have at least a little bit of experience. But we're going to look at reading past lives. We're going to look at connecting with spirit in creative ways and different ways than the usual. And we're going to also have a chance to really connect and bring some healing. And the other thing is, there's time for you to have your questions answered. So you can ask me specific things about your own development or what's happening, what's going on with you. And really, I can give you some insight into how you can move forward with more confidence and more joy in your development. There's too many people that feel hard on themselves or feel like they're not good enough. And I'm here to show you how untrue that is. And also, really, if you want to keep improving, there are many things that I can share with you that will be helpful. So it's going to be fun. I think it's good for people who can't commit to a regular class during the summer because of vacations and all that stuff. Schedule is a bit kind of wonky during the summertime for lots of people. But 2 days, you can probably commit to 2 days, once in July, once in August. And so I'm looking forward to that. So details on the website, or feel free to just reach out to me or my assistant, Cindy, and we can give you the registration information. I do want to say thank you to those of you who attended the Evening with Spirit online via Zoom last week. That was lovely and a really beautiful group that assembled. So I really appreciate that. And going forward, there'll be an in-person demonstration coming up in June. So I'll be advertising that shortly. And as always, just feel free to keep in touch and to send me your topics that you'd like me to discuss. If you've got guests that you would like me to have on the show, definitely let me know, send me your suggestions, and I will see what I can do. All right, so I ask you to just take a nice deep breath in and put your hand on your heart for a moment. Breathing in, breathing out, and just allowing yourself to feel right here, right now, whenever you're listening to this, that spirit is not only with you, spirit is within you. All right, take good care. Thanks so much. If you love the show, please do rate it, or what's the other thing? Review. Rate and review, please, if you enjoy it. And we'll talk soon. Take care. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the show, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or feel free to leave a rating and a review. You can follow me on Instagram at Melissa White Medium, or on Facebook, Psychic Medium Melissa White. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.